5 minutes after the hour. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Thanks for sticking around. You were listening to Clark and the Coach. Love that show. Doing a fantastic job. I like the prep scene a little bit more. I heard Clark did his Broncos picks yesterday. Denver Broncos, not Platte Valley Broncos. And he just got him winning six.
Come on now.
Come on, Clarkle. I agree with Clark a lot. But, man, that's...
I don't know about that.
They're going to start out the gates 3-0.
It's
halfway to your six, just the first three games.
14 games after that.
Math. Yeah, math, and we added the game. It's very confusing to everybody. But, you know, that's where we are now. Adding that one game just blows everybody's minds.
And it's an odd number, which is annoying, too.
It is an odd number. They should have just added two.
Yeah.
Just add two more while you're at it. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. All right, I got a fun poll question for you today, because this kind of will determine, is Tom Brady still the best? Like, right now. Now, is he the GOAT? Yes, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. That term is overused, grossly overused. But he is the actual GOAT. Is he still the best player currently? If you could, the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. If you could select any NFL quarterback to start for your team this season, who you take in between Tommy Bones, Aaron Rodgers, or Patrick Mahomes today? Going into the season, you can't say, well, who's my offensive line? Who's my running back? Doesn't matter. You just get to pick one quarterback to go on your football team. Who's it going to be? 50% of the hooligans are saying Tommy Bones. Patrick Mahomes is next, 37%. And Aaron Rodgers is at 12%. Can I say something? Aaron Rodgers bugs me. He bugs me. This whole thing has bugged me. I was listening to a clip yesterday from him where he's like, maybe that's why he's only got 12% of the votes. But he's like, it's the last dance, whatever. We'll see what happens. I mean, they got him for 2 years. So he's already starting. He's a drama queen. I'm glad he's not in Denver. I'm glad. I'm very happy with our mediocre quarterback competition that we have going on right here between Drew Lock and Teddy Bones. Everybody, if your last name starts with a B, I call you Bones. But you don't like that. You want Rodgers here. You want to go get him right now, don't you?
Well, yeah, but I also think you'd rather have Rodgers here than what we're witnessing. We're about to witness.
Come
on.
Yeah.
Man. It's guaranteed.
Yeah.
You're a guaranteed contender. Yeah. You're okay with it. You can put up with a lot.
He's annoying, though.
Yeah, so.
So, like, if we could just get him for nothing, but he's just here, yeah.
Well, for anything.
Nah. I'm not trading Jerry Jeudy or Bradley Chubb.
No.
Boy, I don't know. I got a weird feeling about this team this year, Colfax. I know I said playoffs, but I just got a weird feeling. I just keep looking at this roster. And, okay, hooligans, I know this is going to sound really silly. You're getting ready to scream at your radio. Tell me this roster on paper, because Justin Simmons said it today, is not better than what they were in 2015. On paper, we have yet to see it. But position by position, I think offensively and defensively, are they better? Justin Simmons was asked that question. Because wasn't he on that roster? Wasn't he, or was it the next year he was a rookie? Could be, he didn't play, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that. I think it was the next year. So his rookie year was what, 2016? But, you know, he said, hey, on paper, it appears that we look better. And I think so, too. Was it 2016? So it was the year after?
Yep.
And they ask him that probably because a lot of those guys from the Super Bowl roster were still on the roster the next year. So I look around at it and I say, okay, well, offensively, let me ask you this question. Peyton Manning, where he was, right? He was bad his last year. Are they better at quarterback now than they were when they started 2015 season?
Did you just ask if Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater?
But that year, Because he was bad that year. He was really bad in the play. I mean, he got hurt, but ultimately he got benched and Brock Osweiler was taken over. Is Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater, are they better than Peyton Manning was when they won the Super Bowl? Not mentally.
You hear yourself, man.
Come on. Manning was, okay, if Manning was a career 99, I like to do the ratings thing now. I'm in that mode because of video games.
Totally.
They're all coming out now. If he was a 99 his whole career, 2015, he was like a 72.
No.
He wasn't good, man. He couldn't throw anymore. Couldn't make the passes. I mean, his numbers were nothing compared to what we saw, you know, throughout his career, especially in Denver. He had some monster numbers in Denver. But 2015, he was an average quarterback, especially as the season progressed. I mean, look at this, Colfax. So his final year, if you just want to look at that, if you just want to do that kind of comparison, I mean, he only played, I mean, how many games did he play that year? He played 10. And he threw for 2,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. He wasn't good that year. Remember? I mean, fans were like uneasy. I don't want to say they were booing him, but they were uneasy when he finally came off and Brock Osweiler was there. I mean, his completion percentage was the lowest of his career, except for his rookie year. I'll take that back. It was 59.8. He wasn't good. He was still mentally there. Like, he could still call the audibles and get a, and that was, you know, trust me, that's what won them that final game of the season. Was it against the Chargers, I believe, where they needed to lock that up to get the first round bye. And we all said that's really important for this team because it kind of felt like the offense was running on fumes. Now, that was 10 games. Compare that to what you're seeing with Teddy. Okay, but that's just the quarter, and I get it. Colfax, you're not going to go there. Running backs? Are the Broncos better at running back than where they were? Are they better at wide receiver? Is Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick, are those guys better than Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders that year? Now, those weren't the great golden years that we saw with Sanders and Thomas. So are they better at wide receiver? Maybe. The running backs were like Ronnie Hillman. They're better at running back. Wide receiver might be a push, but overall, maybe. The offensive line, I think they're better. You had, what, Ryan Harris, Evan Mathis, Matt Paradis, Vasquez, Schofield. You're better now. That left side alone is much better. How about defensively? The line was better then because it was Derek Wolfe, Sylvester Williams, and Malik Jackson. It was better. And Sylvester was still kind of playing at a higher level. The corners, Aqib Talib and Chris Harris. Aqib's a Hall of Famer. Chris Harris, I don't think he's not a Hall of Famer. But they were both really good. Depth-wise, though, you're still better, I think, on paper. Again, I say that. And the safeties, TJ Ward, Darian Stewart, really good that year. That was the no-fly zone. I know it sounds weird, but you look at this roster, it kind of feels like they should be good. They don't need the quarterback to be amazing. I'm getting very excited.
Are you trying to set yourself up to, like, compete for the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Is that where you're going with this?
I don't know if I'm there. I am getting more excited about this. I am thinking that this team is much better than what a lot of people are. And I'm hearing nationally, too. They're starting to go, this defense could be like the no-fly zone repeated, 2.0. And offensively, everybody's talking about their wide receivers. You just got to have the quarterback. That's why we're having a competition. Vic Fangio, he said today that they're very close to making the decision. They're not going to make it tomorrow. They're not going to make it Saturday before the game. But after the game Saturday, I think we have our either Saturday night or Sunday morning. I'll bet we have our answer Sunday morning. And I bet it's Drew Lock. And that's because Vic Fangio's hand's going to be forced. He said Chris Brady saw a commercial with LaFave recently. LaFave? You mean Brett Favre? Recently, he came out with his Levi's. And, oh, you want him to be the starter? You want him to just come out with his Levi's? First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. I don't know. I'm looking around at the roster, Colbs.
I don't completely disagree with you. Well, I mean, I sound crazy saying they're going to get 12 wins.
You went with 12 when the schedule was first released.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I think we have to go back over this thing before the season starts. We've got to go back over it that week.
Add a couple more wins to it.
I don't know. Maybe. They're definitely going 3-0. There's no doubt in my mind. And honestly, the Baltimore game, it's going to be a good game. I think this team's going to be better than people realize. And I think Drew Lock with Pat Shurmur, I mean, think about this, Colfax. We always talk about the lack of an offseason that he had, right? Well, he also messed up his shoulder after, like, what, week two or three? So he was out. Then the COVID. He got the COVID. Well, did he get the COVID, or was it just the mask thing? I forgot.
I don't know.
Can't keep a track. But he didn't wear the mask or something, and then remember all of the Broncos quarterbacks were benched.
Yep.
When the Patriots were like, they kept moving their games and rescheduling days, and it's like, wait a second, Cam actually had COVID. But you were like, oh, well, yeah, but his symptoms, we'll move it to Tuesday and then move it to Wednesday. It's like, wait, Drew Lock didn't have COVID. He just didn't wear his mask with four people in the building, which they were all testing every day. So that made zero sense. I mean, I remember seeing ESPN guys, shame on you, Drew Lock. It's like, wait, you're tested every day. You're within your bubble. You go to you're with that group all the time. You know you don't have it.
Yep. Dad, stop thinking.
Stop thinking. Don't go that far. Yeah, I feel optimistic about this. I don't know how we got on that tangent, but Aaron Rodgers is losing the poll.
That doesn't surprise me.
Who would you pick? You go with Tommy Bones?
You know it. Have to.
Got
to
go with Tommy Bones. Boy, it's hard not to say Patrick Mahomes, though. Oh, look at that. Mahomes. 44% tied now with Tommy Bones.
I was surprised to see Tommy Bones up there at all, to be honest. I know he's not popular.
Nope. He's back up to 50%.
There he is.
50% Tommy Brady. Patrick Mahomes is at 40. Aaron Rodgers is at 10. So, listen, Tom Brady is the GOAT. But I don't know if I'm, because he was good last year. Was he? I mean, Rodgers was the MVP.
That's true.
You're going to win $1 million if you win the Super Bowl. So you better make this pick right.
It's Tommy B.
So you're still going with Tommy B.
100%. Reigning champ. Can't disagree.
It's hard
with that.
For me not to go with Patrick Mahomes. I just think this guy is electric. I mean, he will, if he doesn't get hurt, he will be an easy Hall of Famer.
Well, he was after his first year.
Yeah, according to Nick Wright.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I mean, you could be the MVP, win the Super Bowl, be the Super Bowl MVP, break all the records, do it in 1 year. That doesn't get you in.
If you retired at that point, could not.
It's longevity is a big part of vote. It's why Terrell Davis was left out for so long. It's because they're like, well, he only did it for like 5 years. You got to do it for a while. You got to be at that top of your game. I mean, he's getting there. Have another good year this year, then maybe. Maybe he's a shoe-in at that point. But, I mean, these are the best quarterbacks in the league. Brady, why didn't you throw Josh Allen in there? He's not in this territory. There's the upper echelon. There's the great quarterbacks, the great ones that are in the league. There's the really good ones. There's the average ones. Then there's the bad ones. Josh Allen is a really good one. Lamar Jackson is a really good one. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers. They are the upper echelon of quarterbacks. They are first ballot Hall of Famers. They will be anyway. That's the difference. There's great players, but then there's like, these are the special players. That's why I put those guys in. No, nobody else is in that mix. So go vote at theholeshow.com. Be curious to see how this one unfolds. Let's take a short break. When we come back, last day of camp is today for the Broncos, and then they transition into more of a regular season type mode. That Saturday game is going to be big. I am seeing a buzz on Twitter that maybe this competition is over. that it's feeling more and more like they've got a decision, and it's maybe going to be Drew Lock. I mean, Von Miller was just going off on Drew. So we'll talk about that 20 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Go answer the poll question. If you had one quarterback to pick, you got to win $1 million. You win the Super Bowl. Who you take? Is it Tom Brady? Is it Patrick Mahomes? Is it Aaron Rodgers? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-five minutes after the hour, shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Of course, if you've been in Northern Colorado for even a short amount of time, chances are you or someone you know has been touched by the great work that they do over at OCR. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies are celebrating over 51 years of being specialists in the medicine of motion. The region's only team of orthopedic subspecialists. Each physician is fellowship trained and focuses only on that specialty, which means they offer the best comprehensive and specialized care for every area of the body. That is Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show and you want to text the program, text KFKA to that number, and then after you do that, you don't have to do it ever again for the history of your life. Probably not, anyway. So text KFKA to 970-478-1301. Last day of camp, Colfax. Then the Broncos, we get kind of more of a regular type season. You know, they're getting one more week. Next week's the last week of preseason, if you can believe that. It's right around the corner. And, I mean, because with three games, of course, I like having only three games. We've talked about this a lot. How, you know, four games just seems like way too much. And if you can help with injuries and stuff, then yeah, let's do it. Let's make it happen. It is the last week of preseason, and then, of course, the Broncos' first game will be a couple weeks after that, September 12th. So it's weird. Yeah, they're going to have time in between preseason. They'll have the Seahawks Saturday, and then they'll wrap up the following Saturday after that. Both Saturday night games, I believe. So I'm ready. I'm ready to see what this group is really made of. And I think, you know, all the talk, all this quarterback competition, all that, we're finally going to see what this team's made of, what they're about. I like the defense, love the offensive line, love the wide receiver crew, love the cornerbacks. Starting to feel more and more like this team could do something this year. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. If you could pick one quarterback, who would it be? One quarterback. You get $1 million if you win the Super Bowl. Is it Tom Brady? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Is it Patrick Mahomes? And it just kind of keeps going. Rodgers is getting zero love. The MVP of the league. Is this because Broncos fans are mad that he's not in Denver? 50% now saying Patrick Mahomes. So that's gone back and forth. 41% Tom Brady. 8.3% saying Aaron Rodgers. Boy, there's Carmelo Anthony is in the news today. I don't know why Nuggets fans are mad about this. All Carmelo said was, I still think about the 2003 draft. The Detroit Pistons promised that they would take me. He was on a podcast, All the Smoke podcast. He was talking about it and basically said, hey, the Pistons all the way leading up to the draft, we're like, we're going to take you. We're going to take you. Here's what Melo said. I think if I was there, they win another title. He was on the All the Smoke podcast. I wouldn't jump out there and say we three-peat. I think we'd go back-to-back if I'm there. They were all vets. I would have learned from those guys. And that second year coming back, I would have been a totally different player coming back. Nuggets fans are mad about that. Like, I don't fault him. He said, he went on to say, it changed the course of my career, which it did. Detroit was a, you know, was a team that, you know, with Chauncey still, they were winning, they were finding ways to do it and moving up. But he said this, changed the choice of my, course of my career. I'll tell you what, man, to this day, I still think about that. Because I'm like, they promised me, we're taking you, we're taking you. Talking about all the way up to draft day. So in my mind, I'm going to Detroit. He was the top three. He was the top three pick. And so I don't remember. Where was Detroit that year? The Pistons had the number two pick. So they could have taken him. They took Darko Milicic. You don't even know that name anymore. So they messed up there. I don't have a problem with it. It would have changed his career. Detroit, because of the trade and where they had that pick, they were equipped to be a successful franchise. Melo went to Denver, and look what he did with Denver. They went from like 16 wins to playoffs the next year, his rookie year. I think they had like 20 wins. I don't have an issue with it. Nuggets fans are just bitter. They don't want to recognize Melo as one of the greats for this team. We've already had that debate about retiring his number. And I don't think, I guess retiring his number is a different thing to me. I don't feel like you're retiring the number. You're never going to use it. Maybe I should just start saying they're going to hang his blown-up jersey in the rafters. Doesn't mean you can't wear number 15 anymore. It just means you're honoring the greatest Nuggets of all time. And Melo is definitely top five. And I actually, it's hard for me not to put him even higher than that because of what he did for this organization. They were a joke. They were an afterthought. Nobody cared about the Nuggets until Melo came to town. 31 minutes after the hour. We'll switch gears, Colfax. We're going to talk to Kelly Lyle about the Colorado State Rams. We're getting closer and closer to CSU's first game of the season against South Dakota State. Let's get Kelly's thoughts on that first. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Welcome back to the show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining us now on our First Advantage text or hotline, I should say, Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and talking all things Colorado State. Kelly, the Rams had a scrimmage last week. You got a chance to talk to coach and players after the fact. What stood out to you as far as what they were saying and what coach thought of the scrimmage?
Well, what stood out, I guess, was that they say there was a pretty big emphasis on the passing game, which, again, for a coach that's been pretty vocal about wanting to build a strong physical running game, seems a little counterintuitive. But, you know, Steve Adazio and Todd Senteo, a quarterback talking to us afterwards, both said that they did throw the ball more than run it in the scrimmage. Now, Adazio explained that part of that is because that's what they need the most work at. They were really bad on third downs last year, both offense and defense, so they're really emphasizing third downs. They're doing a lot of situational third down stuff in their scrimmages, in their practices, and that they would start working the running game more as fall camp got closer to, as they got closer to the start of the season. So we'll see where that goes, but, you know, at least at this point, if you're a CSU fan that's worried about the Rams becoming 3 yards in a cloud of dust type Big Ten, old school Big Ten football team, at least at the moment, from what they tell us, that's not what they're practicing. Now, it's hard for us to say because as observers, the only thing we usually get to watch are kind of the team drills toward the end of practice, and that's when they're usually running two-minute drills and things where they are throwing the ball a lot. So, I don't have any perspective to share with it other than what they're saying. But at least it's probably a good sign. You know, Steve Adazio did at one point say that he believes this will be the most balanced offense he's ever had.
That's and Kelly, that's interesting, too, because, you know, so much of what we've talked about with Adazio is, yes, he's big on the trenches, the offensive line, and he's going to run the ball. But is this one of those situations where he's looking around and he sees the tools that he has and says, I need to adjust to them a little bit more? Or is Adazio trying to find new ways? Is he kind of not, I don't want to say reinventing himself as a coach, but I guess in a weird way I am asking that question.
I don't think he's reinventing himself as a coach. I think he realizes that the only way a good run game works is you have to still have the threat of a pass. Otherwise, people are just going to put 9 and 10 guys in the box to stop the run. You know, play action passing is useless. There's no worry about the fake if you're a team that can't run the ball. We kind of saw that under Mike Bobo a little bit at times, that, you know, the play action passing game was pointless because the opponent knew they weren't going to run the ball, knew they couldn't run the ball. So I think it's a little bit of just even some just basic gamesmanship to understand that the pass game has at least got to be enough of a threat to keep a defense honest. But another part of it, I think, is you've got to look at that roster and you see Trey McBride, Dante Wright, Cam Butler, Ty McCullough, EJ Scott. You see that some of your best talent is in your tight ends and your receivers, and you know that they're not going to get the ball unless you're going to line them up in the backfield. It's going to be hard to get them the ball in a run game, so you better find a way to pass, even if it's short passes, if it's play action, whatever. You know, I don't think they want to waste Trey McBride's final year at CSU as a guy who's going to block for some running back. I think they want to make sure they do get the ball in the air and get it in his hands, and they're going to have to throw it some to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing you know, national guys come out and say they really feel strongly about the fact that Trey McBride could be a first-round pick, maybe late, but a first-round guy. So, yeah, if you're a Rams fan, you're looking at that going, man, this could potentially be one of the greatest Rams of all time, so we don't want to waste that.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly, you know, anybody who's watched Colorado State football for the last couple of years understands what a tremendous talent Trey McBride is. The guy, you know, he's got great hands. He's, you know, he catches balls that are thrown near him. He is a dominating blocker, whether he's blocking a defensive end or whether he's, you know, knocking down a linebacker or safety downfield, and a relentless blocker. I mean, if anything, I'm always thinking the guy's going to get flagged for too much unnecessary roughness because he's still driving a guy into the ground 20 yards away from where the play is. But that's just the way he is. He is just a fierce competitor. And he does go all out, no matter what he's doing. And that's what you want. And those are the kind of guys that you do see go on to be great college players and really go on to do something in the NFL. Guys that have that kind of passion, that desire, and then that skill set. He's got a tremendous skill set. So I think that it would be a crying shame if you didn't find a way to make sure you were. To me, you got to throw the ball to that guy 5, 6, 7 times a game, bare minimum, just to take advantage of him, and probably even in the double digits.
Well, everything that's going to help set up this offense is, you know, Coach Adazio has talked a lot about the offensive line, and now the running backs, too. Who's going to be the starting running back, or does it even matter with the Rams? Marcus McElroy, of course, David Bailey, Ajon Vivens. I mean, they have a nice-looking backfield as far as depth, Kelly, but who's going to get that number one spot?
You know, I'm really curious to see that. I got a chance to talk to David Bailey this past week after practice, and I know a few observers that have told me, people that have just come and watched parts of practices here and there, say he is the real deal. They think he has got a chance to be something special in this offense this year. You know, we'll see. Everything I watch, you know, McElroy's still kind of getting the number one offense reps. But again, we're watching the 2-minute drill stuff at the end. We're not watching, you know, the every practice, every play. So I think that McElroy's probably still sort of the heir apparent. But I think that David Bailey's got a really good chance to beat him out and win that job from him. And then I think Ajon Vivens is a guy that's had a really, really good spring. And he's got a little bit of breakaway speed and some stuff that they don't necessarily get with the other two. The other two are a little bit more big and powerful, and Ajon gives them a little bit of that that scat back speed that they could use. So I think they're going to use all three guys pretty significantly. But I got a hunch that by the end of the season, David Bailey's going to be the one that's going to have the most carries and most yards.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Where does Dante Wright fit into this mix, Kelly? Because, you know, 2 years ago we were talking about this continuation of wide receiver U. You know, Warren Jackson, Dante Wright. We'll see what the future holds for Warren Jackson, of course, just trying to get on Minnesota. But Dante Wright, I mean, just kind of took us all by storm when he started for CSU. I mean, he was a firecracker. But where do you see him fitting on this roster?
Again, another guy, they're going to find ways to get him the ball. I think we might see him line up at tailback occasionally. We're going to see him line up in a slot back kind of position on end arounds. You're going to see quick bubble screens to him, and you're going to see him go deep at times. They're going to have to. You know, Steve Adazio has made it pretty clear. John Budmeyer has made it pretty clear, the O coordinator. They understand that this guy is one of the most talented and explosive players on their football team. So they've got to find ways to put the ball in his hands. So I think we'll see a wide variety of different ways that they will do that to make sure that he's touching the ball enough times. Again, I don't think any football coach worth their weight cannot get the ball in the hands of a playmaker like that. That is your number one priority in my mind, and they've talked about it, so they clearly understand it. It'll be interesting to see the different places that Dante lines up and the different types of plays they use to get the ball in his hands, but he's another guy that you better find a way that he's touching the ball 10 times or more a game.
That first game coming up quickly, September 3rd, a Friday night against South Dakota State. Kelly, when you look at the non-conference schedule with South Dakota State, Vanderbilt, Toledo, Iowa, where do you see this Rams starting things off before they jump into conference play? Do you think by the end of those first four games, we're going to be in panic mode, we're going to be in kind of average mode, or, hey, we're feeling pretty good about ourselves?
You know, I've been tossing that around for quite some time. I think this team has got, the potential to, maybe get off to a decent start. That to me, these first three games are incredibly pivotal. I don't see them beating Iowa no matter what, whether they go into that game 0-3, 1-2, 2-1, 3-0. I just don't think they're winning at Iowa. But those other three games are going to be huge tone setters, and yeah. Honestly, I could see them going anywhere from 0-3 in those three to potentially up to 3-0. I think realistically, they're probably going to be 1-2 or 2-1 at that point, and then it's going to be really tough if they're 1-2 and then go lose at Iowa. It's going to be a pretty dismal start to the season, and I got a feeling that this confidence we're seeing right now in fall camp, when everybody's confidence could be pretty fragile if this team gets off to a bad start. So I think they need to somehow try to get to at least 2-2 in non-conference to be able to have a respectable chance to do something in the conference season. And that's not going to be easy. South Dakota State's a very good team. They're coming off playing in the national championship game at the FCS level last spring. Just a few months ago. They're number 4 in the preseason poll, I see. They lost a few guys, but they're still a very, very good FCS program. Toledo is one of the best, if not the best team in the Mid-American Conference this year. And, you know, Vanderbilt in SEC terms is not an SEC power, but they are in the SEC. And yeah. That puts them at a little bit different level. A bad SEC team is still a pretty darn good football team. So, we'll see. It's going to be a very, very tough start, but really interesting, I think, too, because I think it truly could go all over the map, anywhere from 3-0 to 0-3 in those first three.
Yeah, and then, of course, they'll jump into conference play October 9th. We'll see against San Jose State. We'll see what it's looking like for them. But a couple of weeks out, Kelly, we're looking forward to it, my friend, and we'll be catching up with you every Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you later.
All right, man. That's Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. I think, Colfax, I think I had him going 3-1 to start out. Is that right? I had them on fire coming out early. I have them beating South Dakota State. I have them winning against Vanderbilt at home, I think. Even though they're an SEC school, but they're not very good. Do I have them beating Toledo? That's the question. I got to go find my... That's the scary one, because that's in Ohio. So it's on the road, and then you're at Iowa. You're not winning that game. So maybe I had them 2-2 to start this thing out. All right, I got a pair of tickets for Hops for Hunger This is an awesome thing. Friday, September 10th, an awesome opportunity to give back to Weld Food Bank. You get these tickets are $45 each. So it gives you access into the festival area in Windsor. You get unlimited pours. So they're going to give you a cup when you get there. You give them this ticket, they give you a cup. It's unlimited pours. So beer. Yeah, get a driver, by the way. Do the right thing. You actually get, pretty cheap if you go through them to do it or something. Unlimited pours, a collectible mug, free meal from JBS, and live music, festival. I mean, all of that. This is a free pair that I'm giving away, but it's a $45 each value. I mean, it's crazy. I'm going to go caller number 4 on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. Caller number 4, you're going to get a pair of these tickets to the Weld Food Bank's Hops for Hunger coming up on September 10th. Caller number 4, 970-353-1310. All right, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number 1. The Rockies win. I mean, I'm just rooting for 65. That's it. That's my goal for this team. But they're actually when they win, they look pretty damn good. We'll talk about the Rocks a little bit next.
NoCo Now keeps you up to speed on what's happening on a local level. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KSKA.
You guys know I've been talking about Rev Chiropractic a lot. They used to be the chiropractic standard. Rev Chiropractic is what they changed their name to a few months back. Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. I love this place. In fact, I'm heading in there this afternoon. They have been so good for me. I started working with them right around Christmas, late December, early January, having these back issues, not severe to the point where I needed to go to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies for my back, but severe enough where it was driving me nuts. It was annoying. It was getting harder and harder to do the things I wanted to do. I'd have to take several days off before exercising. If I'd mess something up, my back would tweak. And even just picking up my kid running around, after doing that for 30 minutes to an hour, I was just gassed. The back was killing me. Rev Chiropractic was there for me. It's not when you walk in, they don't do the cracks and go, man. It's not like some of those places. Maybe those work for you, but it didn't work for me. Rev Chiropractic took the long game effect, I suppose. It's not I'm not going to get you a quick fix. You're not going to feel relief instantly, but over time, we're going to bend your spine, man. We're going to get you back to feeling great. And then once we get there, you maintain, regulate, but you're going to be feeling like $1 million. And I do, thanks to Rev Chiropractic. 56 minutes after the hour. When we come back, we are going to catch up with Zach Stevens. Zach just tweeted moments ago that he gets the feeling that if Drew Lock plays okay or good, whatever, tomorrow, then it's his job. So essentially, it's his job to lose. And don't forget, he's going up against a bunch of threes and fours on Saturday. He will be going up against a bunch of three and fours, so the opportunity for him to do really well, it's right there in front of him. This is it. I mean, I do believe that if he comes out, throws the ball down the field, completes a couple of passes, it's his job. And finally, we can put a stamp on this crazy, crazy offseason for Drew Lock. And he's the ultimate survivor. He's a game away, Colfax, from surviving all of it. From surviving Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson rumors. The draft and Justin Fields. And then, of course, now with Teddy Bridgewater. He could survive it all. Which, I've had the feeling from the get-go that the Broncos were going to go with Drew Lock. That George Payton kind of wanted to go with Drew Lock. They got a backup quarterback in to compete with him. They didn't bring in a stud. They didn't draft a stud. They got Teddy Bridgewater. So it's a good competition, but not one that's going to, maybe one that's going to push Drew, but not take the job. He's a game away. We'll talk to Zach Stevens about it next.